Good morning. Today I have with me Donna Sherrell. Donna is the VP of Engineering at Boulevard. Donna, welcome to Manager's Club.
Good morning, Vidal. Happy Friday. I'm happy to be here.
Glad to have you. Donna, before we start, could you introduce yourself to the audience?
I'm the VP of Engineering here at Boulevard. I've been with the company for about 10 months. And for those who aren't familiar with who Boulevard is, we basically power the booking-based self-care industry.
Donna, could you share a little bit about how you got into engineering leadership?
Sure. So I'm actually going to go back a bit and back to my starting days in terms of how I got into engineering in general and then made the transition into management. Funny enough, yesterday we were having a fireside chat with the team and the icebreaker question was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And how did that kind of shape your experiences with where you are now? And I realized, I didn't have a great answer for that. I was totally lost and I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grow up. And when I went to school, I was actually pretty aimless for a couple of years, just trying to take different classes and see what stood out for me, what piqued my interest. And at one point, I actually took an intro to programming class and really fell in love with it on day one. I think the thing that stood out for me was the kind of very tangible you're doing versus maybe you're doing a lot of reading. You learn surface level, some details about a topic, and then you get to try stuff and then you get to see the outcome of the thing that you tried. And I just found that super engaging and really fun. I basically finally picked the major and pursued my computer science degree. And when I graduated, I spent maybe the first good chunk of my career really just exploring and learning to see what stuck out. And it wasn't until probably 2012 when I joined SendGrid that I really found, I think, the sweet spot, which for me was the SaaS-based industry. And it was with SendGrid where I made my transition into an engineering leadership role. And that actually came about, I guess, by chance. It wasn't something that I was focused on from a career pathing perspective. It was really more of SendGrid was a startup at the time. We're a very flat organization and we were starting to grow and the need for engineering managers arised. And it was supposed to be an interim thing that I did until we hired more engineering leaders, because originally it just wasn't the career pathing track that I was focused on or interested in. But as soon as I got into the track and had some time within it, really realized I actually had a passion for it and decided that this is the career path that I wanted to pursue. And through my time at SendGrid, really had just the opportunity to continue growing as a leader. And before I left the company, which had been acquired by Twilio, I had actually had the opportunity to be able to grow into a senior director leadership role.
That's a great icebreaker you had there, because who really knows when they're a kid what they really want to do until
apparently
they get into it?
Apparently some people do. Other people had great answers to the question. I was like, oh, okay, I had no idea.
Yeah, I think someone once told me that people really usually don't figure out what they want to do until they're 40 years old. And then it's too late for a lot of careers. So if you can figure out what you want to do before 40, you're ahead of the game.
You're doing good? Okay.
Yeah, doing good. And your transition to management, that's not unusual. It's just an interim thing, but then you learned that you liked it and you're passionate about it. And I was looking at your background, you had a very great career there, right? You were senior director, vice president, I think.
At Boulevard, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but a lot of growth with my time at SendGrid, just in terms of senior engineer, tech lead, manager, senior manager, director, senior director, over the course of about a 10-year period. So a lot of professional and personal growth actually during that time.
That's impressive. So that'll lead my next question then. So you've had this experience. Could you share with us some lessons you've learned in your engineering leadership career?
Yeah, absolutely. I can actually share a lot of lessons. The one that I would like to start with, because I think it is probably the most valuable lesson that I learned early on in transitioning into the role, is how important it is to build relationships, build them with stakeholders, build them with your team members, focus on individuals, getting to know individuals on your team, across team, really anyone that you're interacting with, especially on a regular basis. It can be really challenging to have good experiences and successful outcomes if you're not taking the time to really know the people that you're working with. Collaboration and communication can be super challenging if you're just focused on the task in front of you from a technical perspective or from a I have to get this done perspective, and you're not really taking the time to figure out, all right, how do we work together to achieve an outcome? And so I can give an example of this, but I want to pair it with, it was two things that were playing on each other, right? One is the collaboration, communication, partnership piece of like, we're a team working together. And the other side is also the, I think it would have been different for me if I had been already working towards and focusing on like how to be a successful leader or how to break into this role. And also maybe if I was even joining also a new team, but when I transitioned into engineering leadership, I actually transitioned as a manager on the team that I was currently in IC on. And I really didn't make the switch of how I contributed to the team as an IC is a different expectation than how I would be contributing to the team as an engineering leader. And so I was doing things like I was still in the code. And in some companies and in some situations, like as an engineering leader, that's a part of the role. And you are still in the code and you are still in code, still doing code reviews and deploys and et cetera. But for this particular time with the company, that's not what we needed. We needed engineering leaders to focus on how to empower teams, on how to remove roadblocks for them, and how to enable them to achieve the outcomes that they needed to achieve for the business. And that wasn't still being hands-on keyboard. That was helping the team understand what are the outcomes we need to achieve? What are the business objectives? How do we impact those things? How are we going to get there? And when we're getting stuck, what are we doing to try to like unstick ourselves? But I was still trying to do this functioning as an IC and trying to get my hands in the code and help them work through an issue or work through an incident, et cetera. And that actually wasn't going well. I think it created an issue of like maybe a perception of a lack of trust between myself and the team members. And it was a difficult experience because in that time, I also wasn't proactively doing the things I mentioned earlier around really just taking a step back and engaging with individuals on the team really in a different way. And so I think the role title changed, but the activities didn't change. And it took me a while to realize the negative impact that was having on the team. And
if I could say, that's a very common challenge that people have, right? When they become an engineering manager for a team they were on as an IC, making that transition. And so exactly like you said, it's important to think about what are you hired to do that the other people can't do, right? There's already so many engineers, but now you're doing the manager stuff. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, this is a great learning you had.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is when I speak to other people about this topic, this is the common one that comes up. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's definitely a very common challenge that I think just in general, like when it doesn't even have to be when you're going from an IC to a leadership role. It could be really just when you're transitioning from one role to another, where like the scope of that role changes in a way where it's bringing in either new elements or just a whole other level of those elements that maybe you were doing and executing in your previous role, but it just shows up differently now because of the way that your support is needed. Really, in this case, what had happened actually is we had kind of difficult moments when we were struggling as a team to really even just be able to, I think, openly talk about what was going on, because I do think that my team felt a little bit maybe intimidated or worried about if they did give me candid feedback, what was the outcome of that going to be? So like that trust just wasn't there. Yeah. And so
exactly. Giving code review feedback to your manager can be dangerous.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. I recognize that, wow, this isn't how I want the team to feel. I don't feel like this is a successful situation or this is a happy situation or the team feels supported in the way that they need to. And so I really did try to seek to understand, okay, what could I be doing differently so that we can steer the ship a bit in a different direction and maybe even have a reset and try to figure out how to improve really the way in which we're working together. The first step was just showing up and talking to the team and saying, hey, I realize this is what's been happening and I want the situation to be better. And we just had some really good conversations about what does the team need from me? What does support look like? And I had my ideas, but I wanted to engage them in that conversation so that they understood it's like okay to talk about it and just clear that air and just start building that credibility and start building that trust factor so that moving forward, working together, we all feel like we're here to support each other and there isn't that kind of elephant in the room. And I think that first step was actually really powerful. I think the team really did appreciate that conversation of basically opening up a safe space to be able to have a discussion that might be uncomfortable or a little bit difficult to have. And that was like a really nice jumping off point for, you know, really just having everybody come together and say, hey, this is how we want to work with each other. And this is what we need from you as our manager, and me being able to say, okay, great. And this is what I need from you as a team. And how are we going to achieve these things together? And I think just really clearing that air and having that discussion, like it was more than one discussion, of course, but starting to have that conversation and the team feeling, okay, our feedback's getting heard and we're seeing Donna starting to work with us in different ways. And this is actually working well, and just creating that, building that trust, building that credibility, I think really did help. And I think that was the first like big lesson that I learned in that role. And I've tried to continue to do even until today, where, you know, start working with new folks is number one, just establishing that safe zone and establishing that trust and encouraging people to be able to bring their voice to the table. And when there is something wrong, just let's just talk about it.
I think that's really good. And what I'm hearing too, you said, is you clarified what the roles and responsibilities were with the team, right? This is what you need from a manager. This is what I'm going to provide as a manager. Where before maybe there wasn't clear, you were still operating as an IC, right? So you clarified that.
We didn't have career ladders at the time. I just want to throw that in there. So we actually didn't have clear expectations of roles. And I think people were trying to navigate in ways thinking, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And that was actually one of the things that started as an outcome of that experience, where we actually started iterating around really establishing career ladders for the group on the IC level and on the manager level, so that kind of just moving forward, like that clarity existed. And it was a tool that you can use to talk about when you are having conversations of, okay, what opportunities like can I take to go to the, what does the next level look like? And what I have to be demonstrating to get to that level. And so that was actually another cool thing that came out of that, because at that time, again, being so flat and so early in stage in the company, some of these frameworks and these things, this level of maturity, like just didn't exist at that time.
Okay. I want to go back to the first part of your answer. Like, managers operate largely in the realm of people and relationships, and it's so important. And you mentioned that relationships are very important. I totally agree. I think you said you had an example perhaps about relationships. How do people, what would be your advice on how people could build these relationships?
Yeah. So in terms of advice, I would say it's a little more challenging now that we're like a lot of us are in a remote world, 100%. And I think you actually do have to be more proactive and thoughtful about how you do it, because you're not going to just run into somebody in a hallway. You're not going to just walk into somebody's office. You're not just going to pass them at the water cooler or go hang out in the lunchroom and have lunch together. And so really building that team cohesion or team feeling is something that I do think if we're in a remote environment, like we have to work at harder and we have to be more conscious of. And finding ways, whether it's from your perspective as an engineering manager and engaging with your own team, or whether it's like team members within a team, or whether it's myself with my other like leadership peers and stakeholders, you know, you can throw a million one-on-ones onto the calendar, but that doesn't really have kind of the same effect as finding other opportunities for like how you engage with each other. And so if I was going to take it maybe from the perspective of, let's say, an engineering manager trying to continue to build relationships within their team, ask yourself, what are you thinking about in terms of the things outside of the standard team ceremonies that you are encouraging your team to engage and get to know each other? You can have fun virtual events. You can have team virtual lunch or team coffee break, or you can have maybe listen and learn sessions with your team that you have like at a cadence where people just show up and share. And it doesn't even have to be like the thing that you're working on right now in your sprint. It could be like some new technology or hobby or something that you did over the weekend or something that, you know, just encouraging people to have that kind of discussion and getting to learn about each other and know each other. If you have a connection with individuals that is greater than just the, oh, we're working on this ticket together, or here's my status for the daily stand-up today, you have a bond that starts to form and people feel that sense of community and people feel that sense of being a team. They become relatable to each other. And just really focusing on the interactions that you're having with people over Zoom or Slack or email shouldn't just be the what's going on with this ticket, or can someone do a CR for me? There should be opportunities that you're looking for. And then when you're engaging with your team members, how are you having the one-on-one conversations? It doesn't always need to be the, okay, let's talk about career path. There's moments where that's what you should be doing with the cadence, but take the time, take a step back and just ask somebody how they're doing. When you're engaging with your team, are you asking, how are you? What's going on? How are you feeling about things? Like, how was your weekend? Like, just being able to have that level of conversation and just show that the other person is an individual. We're all people, and just getting some level of being able to relate to the other person, I think is super important, because you're going to go through some challenging times together. And if you don't have that, it can be really difficult sometimes to maintain a, hey, we're going to figure this stuff out together. We're going to get through this challenging moment.
I think that's a great point. And yes, you have to be more intentional. And I agree with you. I think for me, one of the most important things in one-on-one, since I can't run into you at the water cooler or the coffee bar anymore, is just, how is life? How are you doing? That's like super important to me. So I agree. That's really great.
And it's such a simple question, but it can be really powerful. If somebody is going through just frustrated or stressed or having anxiety about any particular thing, and they're showing up to a one-on-one with you, and you're just jumping into, oh, what's going on over here? Or let's talk about this thing today. If you just ask that question, it's a very simple question, but it can be really powerful for somebody who maybe needs a few minutes just to talk, and it could be really helpful to somebody. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a VP and you manage other managers, or you've developed people to be managers. And a lot of people in Managers Club would like to be a manager or just starting out. So what would be your advice for managers who are just starting out, who are new?
Yeah, so I would say a few things, and I'm trying to figure out how to maybe stagger this response, because I do think there's multiple facets to it, I guess I would say. But I think it's like, what's the base thing that is going to ground you in your team? So do you understand this is our team? Here's how we support the business's broader goals and objectives. What's that foundational kind of mission or vision or charter or the thing that you can use as your grounding point, so that when you are, this is a new team, you're a new manager with a new team, or maybe you're a new manager, or maybe you're familiar with this team, but like establishing that baseline of, you know, who we are. What do we expect from each other? How are we going to work together? And there's a lot of pieces that come into that, right? There's all the table stakes stuff of, okay, what's expected of you as a senior member on a team versus a junior engineer on the team. But beyond that, there's what a lot of people call a working agreement, which is, what does healthy look like for us? And how do we work with each other? And what do we expect of each other? And why? Like, what are the goals that we're trying to achieve? Those are going to look potentially different across different teams. And I think just having everybody kind of being on that same page, so that there's clarity and there's transparency and everybody feels like they're rowing in the same direction, that's really important as a foundational bit. Because if those things are not there, it is really hard to get a team that feels empowered, to be with a team that feels like they have a level of autonomy, to be able to like make decisions or impact change without kind of constantly having to talk to a million people or ask for your permission. And so ask yourself, what does healthy look like to you? Ask your team, what does healthy look like to us? And really just going back to those base principles of the relationship piece and understanding people, like, you're going to be successful as a group if you all feel like you're humming together really well. But if everybody feels, okay, I don't have that clear direction, I don't have an understanding of what the goals are, what's going on, it's not clear to me what I should expect of you as my manager or you as my peer, or how we're going to achieve an outcome or a milestone or a goal together, it creates a lot of churn. It creates a lot of toil. It creates a lot of confusion. And so really just thinking about and approaching, what do you want? What does success look like to you? And then having that same frame and same perspective with your team of, what does success look like to us? And really just everybody being on the same page. Okay, how are we going to get there together? I think is super important.
Okay. Is there other advice you might have? I think you mentioned there were a couple things.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, like, transparency is really important, especially when your company or your team is going through change. So for example, depending on what's going on within your particular organization, you could be experiencing a lot of change. And when change happens and there isn't clear communication and there isn't transparency, that can actually cause a whole host of challenges and situations that like you're not prepared for or you don't want. And so I think one of the elements that is really important is just making sure that you keep clear lines of communication with the team, that you keep open lines of communication when change is going to be happening and you're aware and what's coming, to be able to have those conversations and tell your team. And sometimes that change can cause a lot of anxiety for the group, and that's okay. But being able to not only, you know, inform the team, but being open to hearing the feedback and letting people maybe vent some of their frustrations or concerns about it, and really being able to guide them through that conversation is also important, because a lot of times change is going to come and we need to adapt and we need to be flexible. And sometimes maybe we don't even agree with what the change is, but there's usually bigger, broader reasons for why these decisions are being made. And just making sure that you're keeping your team in the know is super important, because if they're not hearing from you, stuff is happening and then stuff starts happening, that could create a lot of anxiety and concern amongst people.
Yeah. Can I ask a little bit more about transparency, especially in the realm for like new managers? Because I like to be very transparent as a manager. But when I started out early, I sometimes got in trouble for being too transparent, because there are certain things that managers know that maybe you shouldn't tell your team, or sometimes you even have to own a decision that was made farther up that personally maybe you don't agree with. You have to own that decision. So do you have any advice for new managers when these things happen?
Yeah. So there's, I hear two things in there. So the first part, in terms of how do you know if you're being too transparent or you're communicating too early? So I think that's a great question. And what you need to be doing is the same thing that you need to be doing for your teams. You need to be looking to your leader to say, okay, so we know this thing is happening. Be very clear on like, when do we make sure that this information is communicated more broadly to our groups? Like, what needs to happen, or what is like, how are we going to approach like next steps for, okay, we know this is happening. Maybe we're not ready yet to communicate it more widely, but what does that look like so that you can just stay prepared and you can stay aligned with your leader and those expectations? And so I don't think it's just an issue of like, oh, now a thing and you just run and tell everybody. It's really more like asking the right questions and understanding, okay, what are next steps? How are we going to manage this? How are we going to share this with the rest of the group? Is this something for me as an individual manager to share? Is this something that's going to be shared more broadly by leadership? Be diligent about making sure, yes, this is important to share. Yes, it's the right time to share it. Yes, I'm the one that owns that message. And then the other side of that, or your other question, maybe sometimes these decisions are made and you don't necessarily agree with them, but you need to own them. And we've all heard the term disagree and commit. And disagree and commit applies to all of us, no matter what role we are, in terms of there are going to be situations when direction is changing or a decision is made that maybe personally or individually we don't agree with. We're not 100% of the time going to get our way. You're not going to please everybody all the time. And we need to own that. And if for whatever broader reason, what's best or what is felt is best for the company, your team, et cetera, a decision is being made, even if we don't necessarily agree or support that decision, as a leader, that is a part of your responsibility, right? To, you can voice your disagreement. You can voice your concern about it. You can have those conversations. But sometimes there's just bigger, like more complicated factors going on, and the business or your leadership is going to ask you. And I think that's a sign of maturity and kind of ownership and responsibility that as leaders that we do have. So as you communicate that back to your team, right? Like, you need to be standing behind that decision and supporting it at that point.
Okay. You've had a lot of success as an engineering leader, clearly. Is there a personal habit or two that you feel has contributed to your success?
Yeah. So on this one, like maybe one is personal, maybe one could be argued that it's not personal, it's maybe professional. But I think on the very just like personal side, I do think it's super important to take care of yourself and to know yourself. If you feel that you're heading towards burnout, if you feel like you are so consumed with work that you're not taking time out for you. I really try to be cognizant of that. And it can be hard sometimes, right? Because you can get stuck in this mode. And before you, you're feeling the burnout. And when you're feeling the burnout, it's a little too late. I try to do little things that are focused on me and trying to keep my outlook and my perspective positive. Things that I know help me from just like mental positivity perspective. They could be really small things and everybody has their own. But like for me, like being able to get outdoors, go on a hike and just enjoy nature. The nature of my job is you're always indoors and you're always on a laptop. Sometimes you could take it outside and take a meeting outside, but being able to disconnect from that and just find a quiet place where my mind can be calm and quiet. Those things are really important because I do think they help recenter and focus me and give me like that mental fortitude to power through certain situations. And I notice when I don't do that, when I don't hold myself accountable to that, I notice how it shows up for me in my day to day. So it does, for me, that does work, right? And it's super helpful. I think the other piece, and I originally was thinking like, okay, this feels like a personal habit, but it's also probably a professional habit, is I really do to observe other people, like how they show up in situations, whether it's a leader, a peer, any individual within my team, across the company, even in my personal life. I always try to make a mental note of how someone is showing up to a conversation or a situation. And I ask myself, is that something I want to try to model? Or, whoa, is that something I want to make sure I don't do? And I honestly just use that on a daily basis to try to continuously grow myself and how I show up and how I interact with others and how I handle stressful situations or how I handle big decisions. Because I do think that you can always learn from other people, whether it's learning of how you want to kind of gravitate towards or whether it's learning of, oh, I don't want to model that behavior or I don't want to model that situation. And that's something that, yeah, I actually do like constantly. There's a particular individual I work with now that is like a peer, a partner to me in the product organization, that it's really fun to actually think about in that way, because I really like the way that he shows up to conversations and how he tries to tease out maybe information before maybe jumping to a conclusion and saying, we should just do this, like really encouraging everybody's participation and bringing information to the table and maybe even potential solutions to the table, keeping the conversation going before just interjecting, even if he might know, okay, this is what I think the solution or the outcome is going to be. I think he uses every opportunity as a kind of a learning moment for people to encourage them to work through a situation or encourage them to be a part of providing the solution. And I've noticed that about him in really all the meetings and all the conversations that we have. And that's definitely something that like I'm really cognizant of. And I'm making sure I'm like more purposeful about how I try to do that and interactions that I have with people as well.
I think that's really great because, yeah, I've encountered some people, some other engineering leaders, and they'll say something at a meeting and I'm like, wow, they said that really well. It should have pretty well, better than I could have answered that question. I'm like, man, something to learn there. So yeah. I think that's really great. Donna, you've been really generous with your time. It's really been a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think you've given a lot of really valuable insights to people or advice. Where could people go if they wanted to connect with you or learn more about you afterward?
Yeah, you can definitely find me on LinkedIn if you search, and please send me an invite. I would love to connect. If you would like to check out Boulevard and learn more about us, we are hiring. You can go to joinblvd.com and check out our careers page and just our website. And yeah, anybody who's interested would love to hear from you.
That's great. Yeah, I'll put some links there. Again, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much.